All right, reading from the Gospel of John, first 15 verses, says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness will not end in death.'" That's good news. Can I get a witness on that? He says, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, and you know what? I wouldn't mind having that, have my name in the... Jesus loved Pastor Bob in City Heights Assembly. Wouldn't that be nice? To make the Bible, you know, Jesus loved Aaron Bugs and his sister and his wife and his child. I say, yeah, let's read John 11 all the time. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he didn't do anything. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are not there 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks at night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. We don't need to go down there." But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Lord, the path is a challenging path. The cross is an instrument of death and destruction and torture and humiliation. Lord, as you head down that path, Lord, we are humbled. We see that your persecution, torture, humiliation was for each of us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate your death in our communion time, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning that truly you would be glorified and that we can follow you into that glory. I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. You know, I drove up to Encinitas last night, and I had been working on this message for 3 days, and it took a big turn last night. Yeah, it took a big turn, because I started thinking about the weight of death. I started thinking about, I don't know, maybe death has come to your life, your house. It's a challenging thing. Amen? I'm going to share a story of the birth of my daughter. Many of you have heard it, but she's born in Northern California. Lisa and I were working at an orphanage for a year and a half. She's 23, she's doing well. She saw my mom this weekend. But when she was due to be born, labor took 18 hours. How many ladies know 18 hours of labor is not what you want to sign up for, amen? My son was induced. He took like 20 minutes. There was one birth pang and he was there. That's what we're signed up for, right, ladies? Yeah, epidural, it's all good. but not with my daughter. 18 hours, the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck. Each time she moved into the birth canal, she would begin to move into distress, begin to choke, begin to die. And the doctors couldn't get the umbilical cord off her neck, and so finally things just started going bad. And the doctor took one of them suction things and just sucked her right out. And my mother-in-law was there, my sister-in-law were there, and Leanne was born. She was gray, and she was dead. And Lisa, because of the trauma of the birth, was in sad shape, and the doctor took Leanne and handed it to the nurse and said, "You deal with this, I got to deal with the mom." And I realized in that moment that things were out of control. And I said, "Lord, this is out of control. I need you to step in here, and I need you to bring control." And in 5 seconds, Lisa's going, "Where's my baby? Where's my baby?" And she began to cry. And she began to pink up. And I'm telling you, man, a more beautiful baby I've never seen. And it's not just me, man. The nurses were talking. But I tell you what, folks, I knew the Lord. We were sold out. We were in the hood in Mexico. The hood in the United States is different than the hood in Mexico. Building churches, building schools, doing this stuff. And you know what? My prayers that morning were not for glory. My prayers that morning were for a miracle. I didn't care about glory that morning. I didn't want to hear about glory. I wanted to hear my daughter crying. We're in a series called The Path to the Cross. And I tell you that story because it's going to get deep today. And I don't want to make light of the emotion of Martha and the emotion of Mary. We're going to be talking about death and dying and glory today. It's just supposed to be a light message getting ready for Easter. But we're in a series called The Path to the Cross. And Jesus is on it. And if you know Jesus this morning, he expects you to be on it. Thank you for that, ma'am. He expects you to be on it. Thank you. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself." Take up their cross and follow me. 70% of Americans say they are on the path to the cross. They say that they are Christians. They say that they have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But of those who claim to be Christians, 60% open their Bible this week. Of those who claim to be Christians, not everybody, just those who claim to be on the path to the cross, only 35% of them, a little over a third, are in church today. I'm glad you're in church today. You're part of the 35% of the 70%. Of those who say that they have received Christ as their Savior, who have been transformed in their existence, are now headed to glory, 15% tithe. I hope you do. I'll tell you, I've been tithed ever since I saved. I've been tithing ever since I got saved. I can't imagine living without tithing, because God meets our every need. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to die. But so many of us, we want Jesus to help us live. There is a contradiction. We come to the path to the cross. And the path of glory passes through the cross. There are many who point themselves at glory and do all they can to avoid the cross. In fact, the message that many can receive is that Jesus did all that cross stuff so we don't have to. We kind of get a sanitized version, a sanitary Christianity. And as I read John chapter 11, I read that Christianity is not real clean. That there's a lot of death involved in Christianity. The cross is a part of Christianity. Dying is part of Christianity. And we'll take a look today. We see that glory is on the backside of dying. I hope you say amen at the end, because we're going to take a look at moving into glory. And it's a challenge. Amen? All right. I'm going to read, I don't know, two-thirds of John chapter 11 today. And we're going to talk about God's plan for glory. John 11, 1 through 6. I read this earlier. Refresh that right now. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary, the one who wiped his feet with her hair. They knew Jesus. Lazarus is sick, and so they send a message to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 days. Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. God's plan for glory runs right through Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We see here that Lazarus is sick. And as we read ahead in chapter 11, we see that Lazarus is not only sick, but he's dying. And because Martha and Mary know Jesus. Anybody here today know Jesus? Yeah? I know Jesus. He's my Savior. I hang with Jesus. I pray. I'm in the Word. I'm one of them 20%ers. I'm in church all the time. I know Jesus. Because they knew Jesus, because Mary had wiped his feet with her hair, they said, "Lazarus is sick. Let's send a message to Jesus because we know him so well." Amen? I mean, we can relate to them. And because not only do they know Jesus, but Jesus knows them. And because he knows them, he does nothing. Each of them have conflicting expectations of their relationship. And I think we are better able to relate with Mary and Martha on the expectation side. I know I was in the delivery room when Leanne was being born. Can I get a witness on that? See, we expect when we call on Jesus for him to come and to come quickly. And so often, our interests are not in God's glory, but in our own. Jesus says, "This is going to be okay. This is not going to be a problem. This will not result in death. This is going to result in glory." Amen? This statement is entirely missed in all of John chapter 11. Everybody who hears that, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. Because we're talking about death here, and our faith can't see beyond death. But glory is on the other side of dying. And that's why it's so hard to get there. Can I get a witness on that? All right, continue to read verses 7 through 10. I also read this earlier. He said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you." They thought he was hiding out. Because they heard there was a problem with Lazarus. They're all going, "We don't want to go back to Judea because we might be killed." Good. Jesus hiding out. "What are you doing, Jesus? You don't want to go back to Jerusalem. It's dangerous back there." Are you tracking with me on this? Right? "What are you doing, Jesus? We were cool with hiding out." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Jesus is moving in the plan. Jesus is moving down the path to the cross that will lead to death, torture, and glory. Glory's on the other side of dying. Can I get a witness on that part? There was a plan to kill Jesus. There is a plan to kill Jesus back in John chapter 8, as he was saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." They said, "Blasphemy," and they all picked up rocks to stone him. And he hid out. He slid away. In this situation, the disciples' fear overwhelms their faith. That ever happened to you? There's not even a mention of glory. Remember in Acts chapter 1, "Isn't it this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Isn't it this time that you are going to establish glory for yourself and the Father?" No mention. Jesus, let's just hide out. We're doing okay. We got a little following. We got a little money. You can always bring bread and fish. We're okay. No need to head back. We can hide out in the dark and get by. And Jesus says, "There's 12 hours of daylight. You are not going to stumble when you are following God's path to the cross. You are not going to stumble as you move into God's plan for glory. You're going to run into trouble when you get off track with God and start running on your own path." Can I get a witness on that part? See, it's in the dark that you are going to stumble. It's in the dark that you're going to trip up. It's when you're doing your own thing that you are going to be messed up. Can I get a witness on this? See, they can't see, the disciples cannot grasp glory beyond death. And he needs them to grab onto that because he is going to the cross and he is going to die, and it is part of the plan of God. But that's our great challenge. The greater the challenge, the greater the glory. Dying is the greatest challenge we got. But glory comes on the other side of dying. All right. I told you this is deep. Is it deep yet? I read this morning in Riverside, Georgia. Family goes into Payless Shoes. A little 2-year-old girl gets crushed by a floor-length mirror. The dad says, "I feel like I'm dead. I feel like I'm not even here. That was my little girl." That is not this. God does not bring accidents into your life so that he can glorify himself. We live surrounded by sin. And sin includes heinous acts by sinful people. And sin also includes faulty mirror supports. It includes cars breaking and going out of control and harming people. There's sin. C.S. Lewis called this the veil of soul making. God does not have to bring mishap into your life so that he can glorify himself. We talk about Lazarus. This is a plan of those who loved God and those who were loved by God, who he described the plan to, that he moved into their life and ends up in the resurrection of Lazarus. Okay? Perhaps bad things. I can't imagine walking into a Payless shoe store with her little two-year-old to get her some shoes and having her taken out in an ambulance, never to come home again. I can't imagine. Perhaps you can relate. Perhaps something like that has happened to you. It might not be a two-year-old. It might be harm that's happened to you. It might just be an accident. It might be somebody who's evil visited evil on you or on your family member. And I feel that we just need to take a minute and pray. Because I want to let you know that God did not bring that to you. But God can take it from you. And so I want to pray. And if that's you this morning, if you have harm in your soul, I realize you never wanted it there, but you can still give it to him. Lord, I pray this morning. I pray this morning for harm, for damage, for sin, for broken hearts, for destroyed lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that even though you did not bring these situations, as you did in the situation with Lazarus, that you can still glorify yourself in the midst of our damage. And Lord, I pray for each situation in this place, for addiction, for harm, for pain, for every other situation, Lord, that you glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. It's still deep, folks. We're still moving. Because he's got a plan for glory, and he brings the opportunity for glory. Some of you have situations like this, and you can find God's glory in the midst of your struggle. Some of you will need help to move through that. I pray you receive that help. And if I can, I want to help you through that. I'm going to read verses 11 through 16, which is the last part of what I already read, talking about the opportunity for glory. After he had said this, talking about the daylight and the darkness, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord," they still don't want to go, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And Jesus is providing the details. This miracle, this opportunity for glory. He said, "I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead." And you know, this wouldn't even be the first time, because he had raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He had raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. And so I got to think, if we had a raising from the dead ministry here, and I said, we're going to raise somebody from the dead today, you're going to be going, woohoo! Nothing. Nothing. Do we really have to go? He'll be okay. No excitement. The disciples are missing the whole thing. No anticipation of glory. No awareness of the plan of God. Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to make him up. And this is how easy Jesus sees death. You know, Lisa came in the other day, said, man, I had a bad dream. You know, I sleep almost every day. Anybody else? Right? Anybody else struggle with going to sleep and waking up? Usually the only struggle is when you don't sleep. Amen? Jesus says, man, death, it's just like sleeping. No great challenge. But glory is on the other side of dying. I need you guys to be able to see past dying. I need you guys to see past the cross. Because I'm on the path to the cross, and I'm on the path to glory, and I want you guys to be able to follow me. And if you can't see past death, you won't be able to make the trip. Death was an obstacle to the disciples. And death is an obstacle to us. It's an obstacle because we struggle to see beyond it. But Jesus says, that's where I'm going. And if you're following me, that's where you're going too. Amen? Amen. All right. Now we're going to new ground. Here we go. Verses 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. That's dead. Can I get a witness on that? Ain't no doubt. He didn't pass out. He wasn't in a coma. He was in the ground 4 days. You'll find out he was rotting, okay? No doubt. Now, Bethany was 2 miles from Jerusalem. 2 miles. That's from here to Qualcomm Stadium, okay? Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And now Jesus is going to deal with death. Now, Martha comes running. And she seems like she's a little hot. She comes running and meets Jesus on the edge of town and says, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't be dead. Now, I'm thinking a better greeting might be, Jesus, you said he wasn't going to die. What's going on? I'm confused. I don't understand. Plan of God ever confuse you? You can ask, God, I don't get this. I don't understand this. We're talking about glory. All we have is death. Now, glory comes on the other side of dying. And that's what Jesus is trying to send the message to. The death of Lazarus brings the opportunity for belief. It brings the opportunity for belief to the disciples who just wanted to hide out in the dark. And it brings the opportunity for belief for Mary and Martha who wanted Jesus to snap too. And it brings the opportunity for each of us because we all want Jesus to snap too. See, Martha's got all the right answers. Amen? Oh, you're the Messiah. I know about the resurrection. I know all that kind of stuff. She's got all the facts, but she can't move down the path. So many of us know all about Jesus, but we got no movement to the cross. We got no interest in picking up a cross daily. We got no interest in self-denial. What we want is a Lord who's going to meet our every need. God's path of glory is a challenge. Martha's challenged because her faith won't let her see beyond death. She's disappointed with Jesus because her plan for glory doesn't line up with his plan for glory. You didn't come when I wanted. You didn't do what I asked. See, we want Jesus to help us with our living. But glory comes on the other side of dying. Amen? Amen. Wednesday night, we got a series about sin. How many of you guys were here on Wednesday night, by the way? How many of you were in my class on Wednesday night? I talked about Eric Stein and bullying Eric Stein. And it was an outgrowth of my addiction and my sin and just where I was at in my life. And that addiction rolled on until I was 29 years old. And wonderful Miss Lori, sitting right there, said, "So, did you ever square up with Eric Stein?" And I said, "I haven't thought about Eric Stein in 20 years. And realistically, I probably hadn't thought about Eric Stein in 35 years. But on Thursday, I got on Facebook, and I looked up Eric Stein. And there he was, graduate of Bullard High School. You know, and that dude is bald. Can't even relate to that, man. He don't even look like the way he used to. You know what I'm talking about, Eric? I know, yeah. William, yeah. Paul. And he works with the legislature in Sacramento. And I said, "Eric Stein, this is Bob Metz. I was talking about you last night. I'm a minister now. Been working with the poor for 20 years. Your name came up as I was talking about sin and my bondage to sin. And my bullying of you was an outgrowth of that bondage. And I'm very sorry for all that bullying that I did." And I hit send. And it was okay. But then he replied. Now, I don't know how to get a message on Facebook. You know, I got this thing on Facebook. It was like 27 messages. That's what people said. "Oh, my." I said, "Sally, what is this?" And she goes, "Oh, you got to load Messenger to get those." Last thing I need is Messenger. Eric Stein, two responses. I couldn't get them. I didn't really want to get them. There's a little dying going on right there. I said, "Man, I got to get that Messenger." And so I got up Thursday morning. There's my phone right there. And there's, you know, like 27 things on Facebook, and hit it, and it says, "You want to load Messenger?" I'm like, "Oh, yes." Eric Stein. And he said, I don't really remember you bullying me. But I commend your work with the poor. I'm dying. And it doesn't mean anything to him. God gives us an opportunity to die every week. Glory comes on the other side of dying. Amen? All right. Last point I got for you. I do have communion coming up at the end, so hang tight. Skipping five verses here. Mary gets notified and she comes. But she was holed up in the house. And we're talking about glory. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you were been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied, Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Mary also is missing the path. See, Martha came rushing out, but Mary's just kind of broken. I think she's like that dad of that little two-year-old. Just broken. Jesus, you could have prevented all this. And the people around her felt the same way. He could have stopped it. And we see disappointment with God. We see disappointment with Jesus, and we see disappointment with the plan of God. And in response to this, Jesus is deeply moved and troubled. But I wonder why he's weeping. Because in just a few moments, Lazarus is raised from the dead. There is celebration that's going on. Time of rejoicing. But narrow is the path that leads to heaven. And few there are that are on it. Not many on the path to the cross. The Greek word there for troubled is kaleo. And it comes from a horse snorting. And it leads toward indignation. There's tears. And there's great emotion. But perhaps that indignation comes from how many are seeking comfort and how few are seeking glory. You sit there today, I wonder what you're seeking, comfort or glory. Because glory is on the other side of dying. Last thing, and then communion. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew, past tense, that you have always heard me. But I said this for the benefit of those that are standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet were wrapped, in the tradition of the day, strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And he said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. God leads to glory. God's path is a path of glory, a path of death and dying. Jesus is ready to do a miracle. Take the stone away, and Martha jumps in his way. Whoa, whoa, whoa! You can't do this. Reminded of Peter. Saying, no, no, Jesus. And he said, what? Get behind me, Satan. There are so many people that want to get in Jesus' way of doing a miracle because we can't see beyond death. And we don't even want to look at death. We don't want to be confronted with death. And Jesus says, take away the stone. She can't see beyond death. But for him, death is no great challenge. Death is no great obstacle. And imagine the scene. I mean, there's a group of Jews that mourn with Mary. They're all crying. Mary's crying. Martha's saying, don't do it. And there is death all around. It's a graveyard. And there's caves all over the place, and there's stones all over the place. It's where dead people are. And there's the stench of death. And Jesus says, this ain't nothing. Lazarus! He says, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have always heard me. And he says, I'm saying this for all you guys, that you guys can see past death. Because death is no great challenge. Dying is no great obstacle. And glory is on the other side of dying. Come on out of there, Lazarus. And it doesn't say there was a celebration. It says some believed and some went and told the Pharisees. You're sitting here today. Opportunity to die. Path to the cross. Passes through death. Leads to glory. And some of you will say, nah, I don't think so. I'm fine. And you can walk out of this place today unchanged. And Jesus is going to let you go. He let those Jews who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead go to the Pharisees and begin to plan to lie on him and crucify him. Why? Because his path was to the cross. And glory is on the other side of dying. Amen.